Let's take our Bibles now, and we're going to look on the subject of something that you all depend upon every day. As a matter of fact, when this part of your body is hurting, all of you indeed begins to hurt. I'm speaking about your feet. That's right, your feet. I suppose that the subject of our message today could be called spiritual podiatry. If you go to a podiatrist, what type of doctor are you going to? You're going to a foot doctor. And you may have an orthopedic doctor work on you, perhaps, but there are podiatrists. Some of you are familiar with the practice of reflexology. And basically, reflexology has to do with the manipulation of various sections of the foot producing a beneficial effect on one's internal body functions and organs. And it truly is remarkable how the reflexology and massaging of the feet has such a beneficial effect, even for individuals that have gone through neurological impairment and other types of difficulties. Well, we're going to be looking at the subject of feet in the Scriptures. And we're going to be looking at the, I guess you could call it, spiritual reflexology. Turn in your Bibles to some of the Scriptures that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at six truths regarding the believer's feet. Six truths. And Psalm 40 and verse 2 is the first Scripture that I'd like to invite you to turn to. Psalm 40 and verse 2. This great passage of Scripture, a psalm of David. Notice what David says in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord. Question, is there something that you're waiting patiently on the Lord for? I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. What a beautiful thought as we go to prayer tonight, that we have a Lord that inclines to our prayers. As sovereign and as great as our Lord is, His ears are opened unto our prayers, it says. And notice, it says, He inclined unto me, He heard my cry. Verse 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And notice what it says about feet. He set my feet upon a rock. Here, this first verse that we're looking at with reference to feet has to do with our salvation. It speaks of our feet being set upon a solid foundation. I ask you tonight, are your feet based and founded upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior and your Lord? When trials and testings come your way, if you're assured that He is your Savior, then you have the many, many promises that God gives to you. Are you standing on the rock or on the shifting sand? The hymn writer said, how firm a foundation is Jesus the Lord. He sets our feet upon a rock. And that's where it all begins. Our feet have to be on a firm foundation. Then secondly, turning your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. This is that great passage that speaks about our Lord in His attitude of spiritual service. You recall the disciples had been arguing, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? The Lord arose from the table as the Master and Lord, the heir to the throne of David. And what did He do? he began to wash his disciples' feet. And he used the term wash, you recall in previous studies, in two ways. First of all, he spoke about a once for all spiritual washing that everyone needs. That's salvation washing. And it was the verb luo that was used as he speaks about the washing. In verse 8, you have that concept of washing, the once for all washing that every believer needs for the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. But then he used another type of washing in the imagery, and that was the washing in verse 10 of the feet, you see. He that is washed, that's luo, needeth not save to nipto, wash his feet. And what Jesus is talking about is this. Once we're saved and our feet are set upon that rock that David was speaking of, then it's a matter of our communion with the Lord. John 13:10 speaks about our feet needing to be washed for daily communion. It's the picture of the daily washing. For instance, an individual would bathe during the day, but then as he walked through the dirt roads and the community where he lived, his feet would become soiled. And as he entered into a home, the servant would then wash his feet, not his entire body, but just that which had been defiled as he walked along life's pathway. That's a picture of the feet needing to be washed with daily confession of sin. That speaks of communion. So you have feet speaking of salvation. We need to have our feet set upon a rock. We need to have cleansing by the Word of God. That establishes our communion with the Lord. Daily spiritual cleansing through the Word of God. So you have the two concepts of feet there. Salvation, feet upon a rock. Communion, which comes after salvation. You can't have communion unless you're saved. You have communion, fellowship with the Lord as a result of having your feet daily cleansed from the defilement of sin. But then turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. This is a beautiful prayer. You know, it's amazing if you read Mary's prayer called the Magnificat, the wonderful prayer of Mary, you'll see Hannah's prayer is so similar to Mary's. Mary's prayer was very similar to Hannah's. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. After God had answered Hannah's prayer and the provision of making her a mother and giving Samuel to her in answer to prayer, notice what the Word of God says in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli was the priest. He sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. Here, chapter 2, verse 9. This is Hannah's prayer, and this is the passage that I'm looking for here. Look at this beautiful prayer that she utters in answer to the Lord's providing little Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. So you see, feet here are used in a third sense. Salvation, Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. Spiritual cleansing, John 13. But then also the keeping power of God is used in the imagery of our feet as well. He will keep the feet of his saints. And here the Lord is exalted and glorified by her prayer. Then look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 for the fourth usage of feet in the Scriptures in the Christian life. We're saved, we're cleansed, we're kept by his power, but notice the element of warfare in the Christian life and what it has to do with our feet. Look at Ephesians 6:15, part of the armor of God. It says our feet are to be shod, Ephesians 6:15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you see, once you're saved, we're to walk in fellowship and communion with the Lord. We're kept by His power. The knowledge of eternal security is so important. But then in the element of warfare, our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I were to tell you, Tony, there's a snake in your backyard and I want you to kill it. Are you going to go out there barefoot? Chances are, Tony's probably going to get some long boots that he probably wore up in New Jersey, and they probably go past his knees, and he's going to put those boots on, those rubber boots. And I have a pair just like that. Some parts of my yard used to be extremely soggy. And whenever I was doing yard work and it was raining a lot, I'd put those long boots on. And they were snow boots, but I'd use them to work in the backyard if it was soggy. And but if I'm going to kill a snake, I want my feet shod. I'm not going to go out there barefoot and step on the snake. I want to just have that security. Chances are, if somebody broke into your home, I mean, I could just see any one of you. You're going to get ready for that big karate kick. I could just see Brother Del Stewart do one of these, hi-ya! And he's going to want to have his shoes on. So when he just gives that long kick, ha! Right in the chin. What a kick. That is really something, you know. And you want to have your feet shod, right? You don't want to do that barefoot. Some of you up north used to remember the first time that you used to go to the beach. And boy, your feet are so tender at the beginning of the summer. You start walking. I remember in Sunken Meadow State Park up there in Long Island, you'd walk and your feet were so tender. You hadn't built up those summer calluses yet. And you're going out there on the sands of the beach. Ooh, ah, ee, ah, ooh, ah. Step on a shell and ooh, boy, you know, and it hurts. Your feet are so tender. And, you know, it's mighty comfortable. You can have a pair of shoes on and you can just walk very easily. Well, you know, we need to have our feet shod in spiritual warfare. And it says here, your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. The preparation. You know, we need to make preparation. We need to be in the Word of God making preparation because warfare is going to come. And we need to be ready. We need to purpose in our hearts. Then look at Romans 10:15. The believer's feet are spoken of as salvation and communion, security, being kept by His power, warfare, our feet shod. But then the Scriptures speak of feet with reference to our service as well. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Here it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring salvation and bring glad tidings of good things. In Africa, there was once a native that had a horrible disease. It was an elephantitis type illness where your feet begin to swell and become scaled. And from the calf all the way down to the ankle, sometimes it can be 10 to 12 inches in width, like the trunk of a tree. And there was this African native that had this disease and suffered great pain because of the pressure on his legs. And he came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the efforts of a missionary. And this African native was so excited in telling people about Jesus that he began going everywhere preaching the gospel. And he remembered when he was a young boy that there was a village about 15 miles away. And he wanted to take the gospel to those people. The doctors said you can never walk that far. With the disease that you have, you will just break into infection and it'll kill you. You'll never be able to walk again. His family warned him. Well, one day, early in the morning, he ventured out, armed with the Word of God, armed with literature, and he went out proclaiming, and he went to this faraway village, 15 miles away. And when he arrived at the village, his feet were bleeding heavily with the pressure of that horrible disease that he had on his legs. And then after he preached, he saw countless coming to Christ, and he walked all the way back to the village. And when the doctor met him, he was treated in intensive care, and the doctor looked at him, and all of a sudden, throughout the entire community, he was known as the man with the beautiful feet. Even though he had this horrible illness, this horrible disease, he was a man that was willing to take the gospel of peace and to proclaim it. And look at Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings, good news of good things. And I hope that you have those types of feet that proclaim the Word of God. Over at Walmart, every time I go to Walmart, you know, Melody and I will go shopping once a week, and as we're exiting, you see all of these people getting their pedicures. You ever see that at Walmart? And people are so careful about their feet. Let me tell you, the most beautiful of feet are those that preach the gospel of peace. And I hope that those are yours. Then I want to give one last instance of feet, and that is, it speaks of victory. Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. It says this, speaking of the believers at Rome, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Does that sound like another scripture that you're familiar with in the Old Testament? You remember Genesis 3:15? What we call the proto-evangelium, the first glimpse of the gospel. You know, because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, because of what Jesus did in destroying Satan and gaining the victory, ours can likewise be the victory. And that's an analogy there. You see, it speaks of our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about feet, we see these six scriptures here that encourage us to keep on keeping on. Let's take care and see to it that our feet take us where the Lord wants them to go. We're saved, set upon a rock. Our feet are upon a rock. Our feet are cleansed. Our feet are kept by His divine power. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We run with the gospel. And also, we have victory with our feet through the victory of Jesus Christ, Genesis chapter 3. Let's pray now. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you said how beautiful are the feet, not how eloquent is the voice or how talented is the person. But feet just speak of a willingness to go. And all of us have them. And we thank you for that. I just pray now that you would watch over us. And Lord, bless as we go to prayer and we fellowship around the things of the Lord and bring these requests before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.